Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Is here.
You will never see a team like this again.
And so are the thrills and spills that go with it.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Rugby league. That's what we love.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. One more game to complete this round. It's one of these battles. These two sides through the 80s and 90s, they were, even into the noughties, were massive contenders, but not so much today. A lot at stake. It's the Doggies up against the St George Illawarra Dragons, and the game will be played at Bankwest Stadium in 1 hour's time. My name is Anthony Maroon. Joining me for this one is Triple M and Channel 9 regular Peter Sterling. G'day, Sterlo.
Hello, Maroon. What time do my mighty Eels run out?
Yeah,
here early, am I?
How good are they going, hey, the Eels?
I don't want to change tack for us, but I'm at Bankwest, so I'm assuming the blue and golds are out here at some stage.
Well, it's just all over the place. I actually went to the wrong ground, so I went to ANZ Stadium. Just habit. And Ryan Girdler, welcome to you, my friend.
Hello, Anthony. It's nice to see about 1,000 of your friends just sitting down there in the crowd, people you hang out with about as much personality as you, all those cardboard cutouts. It's great to see them here. Did you bring a couple out with you?
Some of them are great. I went out around there for a look earlier. Got Crazy Joe DeVola of Seinfeld fell down there, and big Tony Soprano. Someone's put a Soprano out there. They're absolutely excellent. Mm. And joining us on the sideline, one of Sydney's most respected journalists, Em, it's good to see you again.
It's so good to see you, Maroon. Don't worry, I won't be paying you out like Gerds will today. I've missed you a lot.
Yeah, I've missed you too, but look, I'm used to it. I'm used to getting bullied. Yeah. It's okay.
I missed you once, and I reversed back to try and get you a second time. You're too quick.
All right, boys and girls, let's talk a bit of footy, what's going on around the place. First of all, the two games that we had yesterday. The first one, the Knights, it was a major upset, I would have thought, Sterlo. Certainly the scoreline, Knights 34, Raiders 18.
Yeah, 7 tries conceded by the Raiders. That's what surprised me most. Ricky Stewart rightfully said that was their worst defensive display in 2 years. And they're a serious football team, the Newcastle Knights. They were tremendous in hanging on or staying in the contest when they had some real setbacks the previous week against Penrith. And then I think it was all about attitude yesterday. When Bradman Best scored their first try, I think the Raiders were still on the bus at about Goulburn on the way down. Mm. And they just never recovered from that. But I think the Newcastle Knights, I thought they'd play finals football. I'm even more convinced after watching that display. I know there's a long way to go, but they're well coached. They've recruited so well. A guy like David Clem has been such a great influence there. Mm. And obviously to have McCulloch come in to cover Connor Watson was pretty seamless as well. So great performance from them. I agree with you. The scoreline was probably the most surprising aspect of it.
Mm. Yeah, some good signs too, Pete, and the fact that they've got some quality players on the sideline as well. Like at the moment, they've got Guerra in the back row on one side and Matautia, two guys that haven't played a lot of footy in the last couple of years with some really talented players not available for the Knights. Those guys will be coming back in over the next couple of weeks. And, yeah, the development of some of their young guys coming through and the confidence they all get from Kalen Ponga was there for everyone to see yesterday. From the first set, Pete, like, I couldn't believe it. I think they rolled about 65 metres against the Raiders pack, and we saw what Canberra went down and did to Melbourne last week. They dominated Melbourne, which is one of the most respected packs in the competition. They just couldn't handle Papali and the boys, and they just got rolled through at will yesterday.
Yeah, I made the point there that when you don't have a home ground, as those two sides don't at the moment, it's about getting yourself mentally prepared for the change. Like, jumping on, I never liked going to a game on a bus. Mm. I'd much rather fly in, go straight to the ground, and then fly back out. But, they both had the same. They both came down from similar sort of distances type thing. And obviously, I agree with you 100%. That first set, they went the length of the field, put the kick up, forced the error, scored a try. And really, Em, from that moment on, Canberra just didn't recover.
No, and Ricky Stewart was almost lost for words in the press conference. Honestly, he was... You were lucky to get 5 words out of each answer. He was so gutted with that performance. But I think what I liked from the Knights is the fact that, yeah, sure, Kalen Ponga was outstanding as usual, but it wasn't just the likes of Ponga, Pierce, Clement, someone like Bradman Best, a young kid, which just shows they've recruited well and they've got young kids for the future as well who could do that. So he was on the highlight reel after only playing a handful of first grade games. And the fact that after such a tight game, so often we see... So after a tight game last week, that'll take it out of a side, and then you see a poor performance the following week. But the fact that they backed it up and were even better, pretty impressive. They seem like they're the real deal.
Going back a long, long way here, Maroon, but you're a similar vintage to some degree. Remember Peter Diamond?
Yes, I do.
He was an international player. He was around Newcastle.
Yeah,
he was this big,
remember.
Blockbusting centre, like just looked like a tank. Bradman Best is starting out in that fashion.
Yeah.
He's just... He's a beast. That, what, five first-grade games? The pass that he threw for Edric Lee, he learned in a week how to deliver that onto the chest, and they found their left centre.
So good. Yeah. It was almost... It was like that Latrell pass to Alex Johnston, wasn't it, on
Friday night.
So good.
You've all touched on the Knights and the recruiting, Gerds. It's one of those things where... They've waited for the right player. In most cases, they've waited for the right player, the player that they know would fit in, the player that could add something for the squad, whether that player's been around for a while or he's a fresh face. And Nathan Brown is to be congratulated for a lot of that work and thanked for a lot of that work. But this year, it would seem it's really going to come to fruition.
Well, he told us all about it on Saturday. I'm sure you were listening to the show. He was great. And he gave some real insights into the machinations of how you run a footy club, especially from a coaching perspective. And he said that, you know, coaches don't necessarily recruit the best players. Players do. And they do it within representative camps and the like. And that's what happened with him. You know, he was able to get Aiden Guerra in. Aiden was good mates with Mitchell. He got Mitchell to come in. And then Mitchell was in camp with Dave Clemmer and the like, and all those guys then just wanted to play together and thought they had something up there at Newcastle. And as you just said, it's looking pretty promising this year.
I'm glad you mentioned him, and I hope he does get due recognition for it. I know it fell apart, that I guess the second half of last season, but the easy thing for Nathan Brown to have done when he went to that club was to look for a quick fix. And there's no such thing. It doesn't exist in our game. And you know, he could have gone out and bought players, but he was patient. He got the right players. Guys like Jamie Buren, that they had to start with the foundation of the right players to get to where they are now. And that's a long process. And it's one that you are generally not going to be around to reap the benefits of. And Nathan Brown is in that instance. But he did it when he went over to England. He built a club up from over there as well. And I hope that when Newcastle go on to greater success, that he's not forgotten, because when he took over, like they were beneath the cellar.
Yeah.
They were a long, long
way. It wasn't that long ago either, Pete, was it?
No, it's, look, you know,
they've
five seasons
a long way in a short time.
He did say, too, that in the beginning, managers would only call him back just to be polite, but they'd almost laugh in his face to say, you've got to be kidding, my player, any high-profile players are not even going to give a second thought to going to Newcastle. So until you started to get some of those high-profile ones, it's hard to recruit. And you're seeing that now at say, the Dragons, at, say, the Bulldogs, those high-profile names, considering perhaps going and then choosing to go elsewhere.
I think it was the same for Parramatta as well. You know, you go back and we had all these factions off-field, and I think Bernie Gurr did a great job coming here and doing what he did. Parramatta was an unattractive place for players to go not that long ago. And Brad Arthur's done a fantastic job. But again, it's about recruiting the right people. And, you know, it takes time. And like I say, for Nathan Brown, he never looked for a quick fix. He was never trying to feather his own nest. He was doing what was the very best for the club. And we're seeing it now.
Well, we might get to talk about Nathan a little later on when we discuss the future of the two coaches on display today. But let's move to the next game, which is, of course, last night.
I think we've run out of time, actually.
The
let's
Tigers.
Go to the ad break.
Well, let's start with you, Em, because you would have been watching, being a Tigers fan, and the Titans come back and beat them on the bell. And that's the first time the Titans have won a game in, I think, 363 days. They score right on full time, the Titans, and they beat your Tigers, and that's a game the Tigers should have won.
You know what? I honestly, I shouldn't say this, but I wasn't surprised, because over the last few years, honestly, the Tigers are one of the most inconsistent teams in the comp. And I follow them, but they can come out and they can beat a team like a Melbourne, but then the following week they lose to wooden spoon contenders. That's just, they're inconsistent week to week, and not very often put in not just under Madge, but over the last few years, 80-minute performances. So, and I think Madge mentioned that as well, that he's sick and tired of the fact that that's become the West Tigers brand.
Yeah.
You know, inconsistency. So, I mean, I'm not a coach. I'm not the one who knows the answer to fixing it. But that is honestly what has been happening at the Tigers for the last 4 to 5 years.
Mm. What do you think, Sterlo, that the... Where are the Tigers? They're a work in progress as well. Where do they need strengthening in that squad?
Well, they're a fringe eight side, so, you know, they're probably looking to bring some more quality into the club, I would imagine. I go back to the early rounds. They were diabolical against Newcastle. And then when we came back from the break, you know, I thought there's some really good signs there. The rule changes certainly suit the likes of Luke Brooks and Benji Marshall playing hard and quick at the line. They led that game by double digits on two occasions. You know, the good sides will nail that. But, yeah, look, it's, you know, they need probably some more quality in their roster. And when you get into a winning position, the good sides nail it.
Well, I got some audio. Here's Triple M Rocks, the footy of Michael Maguire at the press conference last night after the Tigers lost.
I'm sick and tired of the ups and downs of performance, simple as that. We need to change that. That's what this club has been. I didn't want to say that, but that's the truth. And the truth is that we need to fix it as a playing group, coaching staff and everyone, is that we need to change the way this club does things around how we do things when we perform. How people talk about whether or not we win the big games or challenge the big teams or play less against the lower teams, well, that's a character. So we need to fix that. We need to fix it fast because I've seen a little bit of that over my period and, we all need to change that. We've got to own it. Simple as that.
Yeah. It's an absolute mentality, Maroon. I mean, the worst thing that happened to the West Tigers yesterday was they scored those two early tries. They went up there to play a side that hadn't struck a blow in, as you keep saying, almost a year, had an awful start to the season. I thought they showed some signs last week, the Titans, although they were beaten convincingly by the Cowboys, of improvement, of effort in some of those effort areas. And I actually gave them a bit of a chance yesterday. But when they got out to that 12-0 lead, the attitude of the West Tigers totally changed. And then they... And once you're in sort of that rhythm and you're not at your sort of your full capacity, then you come in and out of the games and it's really hard to click on and stay on. And that's what the good sides can do when they need to.
If I'm Coach Maguire, I'm also showing my players, Philip Sammy scoring that last try, and how many Titans jerseys were around chasing and how many Tigers jerseys weren't, showing the same desperation and that. You know, that's the difference between winning and losing, what you're prepared to do, just what if you're needed. You know, it's why our best players are always in the right position, because they might need to be there 10 times. Yeah. They might, you know, come up empty 9, but the one time that they were meant to be there or needed to be there, they are. And I saw last night when Sammy scored the try, there's a lot of Titans jerseys chasing. There's not that many Tigers jersey who are in the vicinity.
Speaking, Madge mentioned character. I don't know whether this is really a great example of it, but that short kickoff at the end, Joey Leilua today has put up a photo on his social media suggesting that it didn't go 10, making excuses,
yes,
potentially. Tom Trbojevic was interviewed after the Manly game, did not make excuses, did not complain about the ref, said they had opportunities to win it.
That's a good point.
That is the difference, right? Would if you were Michael Maguire... That is not what you want to be seeing from your players after losing.
Yeah.
No, they had plenty of opportunities to win that.
That's one thing I take from the Roosters and their success over the last couple of seasons, and something you'll always get out of their individual players when they're interviewed, is it's all about their own personal growth and their personal performance. So I always get the impression, and that you know, you've done it, Pete. You've been able to win, you know, premierships back to back, and, you know, been able to challenge yourself as a team and whatever. And when you get to a certain level, I think it's not so much about the opposition that you're playing against, it's about you becoming better and challenging yourself on a weekly basis. And I think that's why you see their high standard every week, because it's not so much about, oh, we're playing the Cowboys this week, we're playing this. Victor Radley, Luke Keary, those guys, they're always challenging themselves. So therefore, they don't get into the pitfalls of, oh, we're only playing the Gold Coast this week, we'll go up there and we'll take it a bit easy and still should get the 2 points. They're challenging themselves on a weekly basis, and that's something that I believe Trent Robinson's got into that group culturally, and I think that's why they have a lot of success.
Okay, this is Monday NRL. Our game at 4 o'clock today is Dragons Dogs.
I think we should incorporate that into
What we're doing here.
Yes. Who are we playing? I think you should get on board, okay?
Who are we playing today, by the way?
Who?
Well, I mean, if we're going to incorporate that sort of logic into the way that we broadcast, who would we be playing today? Is today, like, are we coming up against, like, a Broncos outfit? Yeah. Are we playing the Bunnies?
No, well, look, I like to, every game we call, everything we do on Triple M is State of Origin level.
Good answer.
There you go.
Good answer.
Well,
there you go.
I was going to say the grand final, but that's...
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
And I heard you the first time.
Congratulations.
He was just checking you got it right the first time.
Yeah, it was. all right. Well, congratulations to the Titans. They've won their one game in a row. We're going to take a break and come back and speak to Jock Arrow as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's.
Well, welcome back to the beautiful Bankwest Stadium in Parramatta in just west of Sydney, 22, 23 Ks. If you're listening around the Triple M network and you don't know Parramatta, it's a beautiful part of Sydney, and this is certainly probably the premier venue to watch a club game now. And we are here thanks to our friends at Ream Hot Water, installer Ream, McDonald's, Triple M rocks the footy. We had to all pass a COVID-19 temperature check before we came in.
Yes, I got mine just, they held mine up in front of my face, but you requested the what?
Well, no, I thought. I undid my pants.
And you wanted a second opinion.
No, not at all. But anyway, on my temperature...
Well, if you did undo your pants, you wouldn't have passed the test, I'll tell you that much.
I was 36.5. So what was your temperature, Kurt?
Very bad.
36.5. But I just want to thank them. I know it's COVID-19, but thanks everyone at Bankwest Stadium. No sandwiches, no coffee, no fruit. If I'd have known, I'd have brought something.
Except you brought yourself a coffee and you rocked up with one for yourself and no one else.
Well, there was no one else here, Emma. I got one for Dave, our tech. Hey, but there was no one else here.
Maroon, just use your brains. I mean, you know we come out here. Usually it's rations. Anyway, they give you what's left over from the players don't eat up here in the media box. So now the NRL are trying to cut back on costs. You think they're going to supply us with what, lobster mornay?
Well, just a couple of sandwiches would have done. You own string of coffee shops.
I bought my little lunch here.
Well, what about us? How come you don't not up him about not bringing stuff for, you know? And what about you, Pete? You're royalty around here. You're royalty in Parramatta.
I just ate.
Did you?
Okay. Actually, Maroon, I did bring a few snacks.
Did you, Dale?
Some nuts.
Nuts, beautiful. I love nuts.
Carrot sticks.
Did you bring any lollies?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll know for next time. Yes. No, kidding. Look, let's not hold this up any longer because we've got one of the victors from last night on the phone. Jai Arrow from the Gold Coast Titans joins us. G'day, Jai.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Hey, congratulations, mate. You got to win up. New blokes well deserve it. You hung in there.
Yeah, exactly, and it's been a long time since we sort of had that winning feeling, and we finally got one on the board, and in the fashion that we did it, I thought we were good. We stuck in there and we completed high, and we actually had some ball last night, so it was enjoyable and just thankful we won.
We've made the point that you guys were behind by more than 10 points on a couple of occasions. Who's the voice in those instances? Who gets everybody together and has something to say?
Yeah, look, when we're sort of down and behind, we sort of look to the halves to do that, but it's a team sport, Sterlo, so everyone's got to buy in and make sure that we're focusing on our job and on what we have to do to get ourselves back into the game, and thankfully we did that. It was... proud of what the boys did last night and our efforts. We stayed behind and usually we'd get pretty frantic and panic a bit, but we didn't last night and definitely showed towards the end.
And you could see when the camera kept going to Justin Holbrook, you could see just how on edge he was and how much it meant not just to him but to the group. What did he say after the game? What was his? What was he most happy with?
He was just happy with our effort. Throughout the week, he just said, I can't fault your effort, but we just need to play a little bit smarter, and he thought that we did that. And we controlled the ball, as I said, and when we only had 37% or something like that the last two games, and, he said during the week, we're entitled to 50%, so hold on to the ball and complete your sets and kick to a corner, and that's what we did, and we eventually run away with it in the end, but I think we had his blood pressure pretty high there with about five to go, but thankfully we scored and we're in front and got to hold on to the win.
How's your recovery today, Jai? Because it was interesting, after the try was scored yesterday, everyone was celebrating and you sort of went out the back door and took a knee. What happened during the celebrations?
It was a weird one. My body got twisted in the tackle and I felt my rib sort of, it was a crack or sort of crunched or something like that. And I was sort of on my knee and then I saw we scored and I was just so happy. So I had to run over and jump. And then when I jumped, sort of strained it a bit and then dropped to the ground, which I kind of regret. But I felt like I was put up against the wall and beaten up in the ribs for a long time. But it was definitely worth it after the game, that's for sure.
Jai, when Maroon introduced you, he said Victor. And when I think of Victor, I think of Victor Mowers. And when I think of Victor Mowers, I think of your haircut. what's the story?
I think, honestly, I was just sick of getting the same haircut every time. So I thought I'd bring back the 80s, bring back the mullet. Hopefully lasts a fair while because I'm actually enjoying it. But a lot of people have been giving me a lot of crap for it. But who cares what people say? I'll just keep doing my own thing and going about my own ways.
How long are you going to keep it?
Maybe the 12 months. I'm not too sure. Just depending on how hot the Gold Coast weather gets. If it gets too hot, it might have to come off earlier than expected.
Depends on how cold his ears get, I reckon. That's one.
When he starts travelling down to Sydney, it might be a different story. Hey, Joey, it was good to see young Ash Taylor. He's been under a lot of pressure the last couple of years, and he started the game in an ordinary fashion yesterday with the intercept and some ordinary kicks. But I tell you what, he settled into the contest well, and by the end of the game, played a big part in that win. And geez, must be some weight off his shoulders.
Yeah, massively, and that's a credit to Jamal Fogarty as well. He's come in and he started to be that voice that. And taking a lot of pressure off Ash and just let Ash play his game and come up with the big plays, which I thought he did towards there in the end when the game was in the balance. Ash sort of got the ball in his hand and come up with some big plays. So it's a massive credit to both our halves. I thought they were good last night and they led by example, and that's what we want for our footy team is our halves to take control and get their ball in their hands as much as possible. And if they're doing that, then I'm sure the rest of the team will follow them and go off that.
Jai, two games back now, but how did you personally handle the isolation and the break?
Yeah, it was a bit different. Obviously, around the world, it was totally different. But we just had to focus on, for myself, I just had to focus on staying fit and staying in the best possible shape because we didn't really know when we were going to come back. And thankfully, we're back now. We're back playing footy. And, to be honest, I didn't really do much. I just trained and stayed home as we got told to and just sort of wait to see what was going to happen. And lucky it wasn't too big of a break because I was starting to go insane, that's for sure.
Hey, Jai, this is a good thing here about you is that you are, well, not a good thing, but the point I'm trying to make, you're changing clubs next year, but you are playing out the season where you are, and we don't see enough of that anymore. Normally, if a player has made the decision to change clubs, he goes there and then. How are you finding that, the fact that you know you won't be there on the Gold Coast next year?
It's a normal thing for me. It's my third year now. I wouldn't say it's different or weird, but I obviously made my decision a while ago now, and the boys and coaches, they've been great about it. And obviously, I've been copping a little bit of crap because we're playing the Bunnies this week coming. But it's all good. I'm sort of one who, wears his heart on his sleeve, and no matter what I'm doing, I'll always give my best. And I've always done that ever since I've played footy. So I'll just keep doing that and hopefully playing good footy for the Titans in my last year here because, it's my hometown and I love the place, and, I wouldn't go about it a bad way or anything. I'll just keep my head down and hopefully play good footy for the rest of the year for them.
Yeah, good on you, mate. 1 week at a time and all the very best with it, Jai.
thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well done. Congratulations.
There he is, Jai Arrow, joining us. Monday Arvo footy on Triple M. It's thanks to Ream, Australia's favourite. And Macca's. We just went over to Macca's here at Parramatta and got some nuggies and some cheesies. Well, you weren't here yet, Em. You weren't here yet. If you were here, every time I talked to you on the phone, you're working out. I thought, well, you're probably on some sort of a strict diet.
What were you complaining moments ago that there was nothing to hear?
Yeah, but I had to go and get my own, Pete.
And you didn't bring any with you?
Well, mate, there was no one here. What am I supposed to do? Guess that you've all...
Why did you think you were calling on your own today?
No, I just thought that maybe you'd have looked after yourself.
Well, I did.
Well, that's
I'm not
exactly
complaining.
Right. I'm not complaining either. I'm not complaining either. What we might do is take a break.
Yeah, good idea.
When we come back, we're going to put this game up on the hoist. The Dragons and the Dogs, both these coaches are under immense pressure. Who would be a coach? We'll ask the boys and M next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome right across the Triple M network. We know you love your rugby league and we'll be here week in, week out. We get to finals, grand final, state of origin. We will all be on deck every weekend, public holiday Monday here in New South Wales. And we are at Parramatta Bankwest Stadium where we're watching the St. George Illawarra Dragons getting ready for this game out there on the middle of the pitch. So it's the Dragons and the Doggies. And for lots and lots of pressure, I should say, on both these coaches and teams. And that's created a lot of interest around this game. Pete Sterling, if we believe certain sections of the media, both of these coaches have their head on the chopping block at the moment.
Well, and the only thing that will change out will be getting some W's next to their team. Obviously, the Dragons, we keep hearing the equation of they've won... What, two of their last 13 or 14 or four of the last 21 or whatever. And, you know, that'll continue until they can get a job done. I hate coach conjecture and that during the course of the season. You know, you'd like to make a case for a coach or judge them on a season's performance. But, yeah, both Dean Pay and Paul McGregor would be feeling it. And the only way that can be alleviated is by... You know, whoever wins this afternoon, all of a sudden the spotlight just glares even more fiercely on the defeated coach. Mm.
It comes with the territory. As soon as you have a couple of losses, everyone starts pointing the finger at the coach straight away. But realistically, who thought that either of these sides would have been in the eight anyway?
No.
But with the Dogs, so last week against Manly, who would have really thought they'd beat Manly? Eels round one, we probably didn't think they'd beat the Eels.
Yeah. They went close.
So
didn't
realistically,
they?
Are they where we thought they would be anyway?
But that doesn't excuse the way that the whole organisation is operating because they're on the same amount.
But is that Dean Pay's fault, though?
Well, this is the thing. Dino's in what he's the beginning of his third year, realistically, and he came in on the back of some salary cap sanctions that they had to abide by, and hasn't really brought too many people to the club in the last couple of years, and sort of had to build from within, whereas. The demise of the Dragons has been an interesting one, you know, since obviously, 10 years ago they won the premiership, but then they've made some decisions between that time and now, not just that Paul McGregor has made, but the whole organisation has made in around recruitment, retention. They've had some things happen to them off the field. So it's easy to put the spotlight on the coaches, and they obviously, you know, they wear the wins and the losses, but as an organisation, you know, where are the Dragons at the moment? Like, if you have a look at this... The back line they've got at the moment, I mean, you know, how did they get to the place that they are? I think that's what the Dragons fans really want to understand. And when you look at that, you think, well, can they compete against the best sides regardless of who was the coach? And you would probably say no at this point.
Well, they got to that point by spending $2 million on Hunter Norman.
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
Exactly, yeah.
Have they been worth that?
No, absolutely not. And this is the thing, and I remember, and Stella, you remember a couple of years ago when Mary came out and he said, I want to distance myself from recruitment and I just want to worry about coaching the side. That for me at the time I thought was a little bit strange. I understand how intense it would be trying to run all of it, but you live and die by your roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't imagine trying to coach a club in the NRL and not having complete say. And you know, I'm sure that the head coaches at the majority of clubs, if they do change club, that's one of the provisos that they go to another club on, that You know, I have carte blanche. If I'm going to live or die, I do it based on my decision.
Yeah.
And you do it based on the decisions you make on the players that you want and the players that you let go. And, you know, the salary cap is an art form. And I agree with you, Gerd, with all due respect, you know, the back five of St George Illawarra, they don't put a fear of God in me if I'm an opposing player. You know, they're good players. But I'm not that concerned about how much they're going to hurt me, and I hope they prove me wrong this afternoon. The other thing too, like you talk about the coaches, changing a coach, obviously that's going to change some decision making, but now whoever comes in,
yeah,
they come in a tough situation as well. You know, how quickly do they get to make some changes? You know, like I'd rather see both coaches get through their tenure of this season and a decision made about them, you know, much further down the track. You know, give them another 10, 12, 14 weeks, and if, you know, then decisions need to be made to move someone on or bring someone in, make it then. But after three or four rounds, I just think it's, well, it's the nature of the beast. Mm. I understand that, but
if there's not someone else that can come in and do a better job, do you just sack a coach when there's not a better option? And financially too, you're going to be in a lot of trouble because you have to then pay that coach out. And we've seen over the last 12 years, I think clubs have sacked 14 coaches, which I think accounts to about $5 million, that clubs are having to pay coaches that are no longer there. When I wonder how many of those, if they'd given them a bit more time instead of being reactive to either board pressure or the media or something like that. I mean, often in instances, coaches perhaps needed to go, but I mean, financially, it's a pretty big decision to make unless you're confident there is a better option.
Yeah, well, but haven't we all been around long enough, Gerds, to know that what we're saying today is whoever wins today, well, they're going to take the spotlight off that coach, but it's not. Both these coaches are doomed, whether it's this week. No, they are. They're both doomed.
Oh,
because they'll win this week and they'll get flogged next week by the Warriors or the Gold Coast.
Well,
both these coaches
tell them not
are
to turn
doomed.
Up. Yeah. Tell them to stay
yeah,
at home.
Exactly.
And zoom from a distance.
The Bulldogs, I thought, at the back end of last year, they missed the finals by one game. Yeah. I mean, they went on a really good run, and at the start of, you know, before we sort of, they didn't start the season that well, but they had a couple of a pretty close, they challenged Parramatta in the opening game, and then obviously they fell away a little bit last week after about 40 minutes or 45 minutes against Manly, who are a pretty good side, and they struggle in key areas at the moment. I mean, I like Marshall King, but I'm not sure he's, you know, one of the most dominant number nines in the game. They haven't got a regular seasoned halfback that can actually, you know, put the ball where it needs to go on a consistent basis and rally the troops and get the team around the field. There's some key positions. I think Dallin's been a great acquisition for him, but I'm not sure whether he's an actual fullback or whether he's a winger. I think he goes to the wing today. He's played a little bit in the centre. So some of their key positions, when you look at this side, you have to think to yourself, well, when they come up against quality opposition, you know, they're going to be their effort and they're all heart and they're going to do what the Bulldogs do. Do they have the ability to actually compete on a regular basis with the better sides in the competition? And I say they don't have the roster for it.
No.
Well, when last year you talk about making that run, that did coincide as well with Kieran Foran coming back. And he's been missing for a large chunk of the last 18 months. And, I mean, those halves between Lachlan Lewis, Jack Cogger, bringing Brandon Wakeham in, I mean, between them, they've probably only played about 50 NRL games. So with halves like that, if Kieran Foran is not there, there's no way that they'd be anywhere near the eight.
And the difficulty with Kieran, and no greater fan than I am of Kieran Foran, yeah, he's in some ways a week-to-week proposition with the way that his body's been for a number of seasons now. You know, he's played very little football. He'll certainly make a difference to them this afternoon, but, you know, you've got everything crossed that he's there next week and the week after and the week after that.
I think it's game 200 today for Kieran Foran.
It is.
Yes. All right, look, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get a little bit more stuck into the game itself. Live at Bankwest Stadium, Monday Arvo footy as Triple M rocks the footy back shortly.
McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Bankwest Stadium, and it's all thanks to Ream and Maccas, Ryan Girdler, Peter Sterling, Emma Lawrence and Maroon. Your call team this afternoon, St George Illawarra Dragons up against the Doggies. Now, both teams go into this game with an awful record in the opening rounds of the competition. Of course, last week the Warriors beat the Dragons 18-0. The Panthers got them, the Tigers got them, and the Dogs. Last week, Manly beat them, the Cowboys beat them, and they were tough against Parramatta in that opening round, but just not good enough. So, Sterlo, is there a team here you favour to win?
I tip Canterbury, based on the fact that I think if we're looking for a stoic performance defensively, then I'd probably see that more in the Bulldogs than I do in the Dragons. But no great confidence, and obviously the fact that Kieran Foran is back, that will make a difference, as Em pointed out towards the end of last season. They came back and they had some success in that last couple of months, and much of that was based around what he was doing for them. So I think if I'm a Bulldog player and I look across and I see Kieran Foran and with a smile on his face getting changed to come out, that makes me feel pretty good about the afternoon.
Okay, Ryan, apart from probably the Manly game last week with the Dogs, although these two teams have both been going very ordinary, with the Dogs we see effort.
Yeah, well, that's what the club's been built on, and they've brought Dean Pay back, and he exudes effort. He was that kind of player, and I think he's pretty simple with his coaching method. I think the boys understand what he's trying to do, and we saw that at the back end of last year. But I look at both these packs, and they should really be evenly matched. You know, the Dragons pack surprises me on a weekly basis how they just get dominated every week with the quality that they have in that roster. You know, they've got Origin players in there, they've got international players in there. You don't really have the same luxury with the Bulldogs, but exactly what Pete said, you know what you're going to get from them. And that's what we need to see from the Dragons pack today. I mean, they've all come out through the week and basically said, you know, we support Mary, we're all in this together. And it's easy to say that, but this is where it needs to happen. They need to bring that. There's only one way to help Mary out at the moment, and that's by coming out here today and putting in a really good performance against what will be a physical Canterbury Bulldogs pack.
I did like what I heard from Paul McGregor coming into this game, and he said he thought that sometimes his side were in the mentality of going out not to lose, and that they want to reverse that so that they go out and try and win this game, and when something goes against them, that they push back hard on that. You know, yeah. If a call goes against them, a bounce goes against them, whatever, an intercept, that he wants a different reaction, and he'll get that different reaction if their mindset is different than, oh gosh, here we go again, let's, you know, what do we do not to lose this game? But go there, what do we got to do to win this game?
Adam Clune comes into the game for the Dragons. He got big raps off Paul McGregor in a press conference recently. Do you know much about Adam?
Yeah, so it's actually his 25th birthday today.
Wow.
His NRL debut, 25th birthday. They had massive raps on him in the Canterbury Cup. He was their player of the year last year. He had something like 25 try assists. And probably would have been able to, well, they would have put him into first grade if they were able to, but he wasn't part of their top 30 squad, and he wasn't one of those six development players either, so they weren't able to bring him in. But they just, Mary's basically said he's an out-and-out halfback, he's really tough, actually broke his nose during the week as well, so we weren't even sure if he was going to be playing, so he's pretty tough. But, gee, it's a big occasion with lots of pressure on the team to be coming out and making your debut.
And when we're talking about a broken nose, we're talking about a Blake Ferguson type break.
Oh, yowch.
He did
it was a good one.
Good job on it.
That's going to be interesting, though, doesn't it? It moving Benny Hunt out to six, taking that little, because apparently young Clooney manages the game really well, got a great kicking game, as you just spoke about. So a little bit like what we saw with Ash Taylor last night with the Titans, where they've brought in someone just to take, you know, that game management role off him. It just frees Benny Hunt up just a little bit more, lets him play on the ball a little bit more and not worried about, you know, where the team ends up at the end of the set and making sure he's there to kick. And maybe, you know, with the game changing the way we've seen it since we've been back, it gives him opportunities, Pete, just to run a little more and threaten the line.
Yeah, I think when halves are under pressure and there's, we're looking at their impact on games, if I'm either of these coaches, I'm just saying to my players, Get the last play right. Hand the football over where we want to. Parramatta in the first half against Manly did a fantastic job against Tom Trbojevic. There were a number of occasions there when he picked the ball up from the kick and he looked up. He dived on the ground on two occasions because there was nowhere to go and he was 2 metres out from his own line. If you get that part right, a good ending to a set in so many ways can make up for maybe a pretty poor four or five plays in that set. And if they can get that right, then your game grows on the, like, get your defence right, obviously, first. But if you get the final play right and hand the football over in the right place, then your game kind of just falls into place. So that's the responsibility for me for the 1, 6, and 7 on both teams. Whoever does that best are going to give their side the best chance.
Okay, but you're going to go Dogs, Pete?
We're going the Dogs.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Dogs.
Em?
I'm going the Dogs too.
All right. Well, listen, the last time the Dogs lost four games to start the season was back in 1971. So there's a stat thanks to our friends at Choice Hotels, but it's going to be a good afternoon for rugby.
Do you reckon they know that?
I don't think so, Pete.
And did you know, Maroon?
Mm-hmm.
Only one side has ever gone 0-4 and won the comp.
Right. Who was that, Em?
I believe it was Newtown in 1933.
Right.
They were a good side that year.
Was Frank Hyde in that side?
I was there to watch that. They were good. I think Rabs was calling.
How big were your sideburns in 71, Maroon?
Well, I was only five, but I started school. I tell you what happened in 71. I started school at St. Vincent's Catholic School in Redfern.
You went to a Catholic school?
I did. I went to St. Vincent's in Redfern.
Got hit by lightning the first time.
Yeah, so I was only five, but I remember the event well. I went home and my father was having a bottle of Rhesus DA and an Ardeth cork-tip cigarette, and he said, "This is the first time the Dogs have lost four games to start the season." I'll never forget it as long as I live. So, both teams out there.
What was the cigarette type?
An Ardeth.
An Ardeth?
Ardeth cork-tip. You remember those, Pete? Oh, my old man used to get on the Ardeth four packs a day. They killed him in the end, as you know. That wouldn't surprise you, would it? No, they did. They really did. And that wouldn't surprise you when you're smoking four packs a day. So everybody's going to pick the Dogs to win. What about a prediction?
I don't know if I've missed the footy more or missed you more.
You've definitely missed me, Em, but don't worry. I'll come round to your new place. We'll have a when you have your house warmer.
Sounds good. No, I'm not going to go.
No social distancing. Stop. No social distancing that day. Pete, have you got a prediction for us?
I'm trying to come up with a prediction that doesn't use the word doomed.
Right.
I'm going to go for 40-20.
Oh, that's not a prediction, Pete.
How many 40-20s have we seen?
By Dylan Napa.
All right, 40-20 by either side?
Yes.
Ryan?
I'll go to M.
M?
Ooh. Two field goals.
That's a prediction.
That's a bold prediction.
I'll tell you what, I'll take a break. We'll give you some time to think. We'll come back. We'll have the kickoff Dogs and Dragons.
Kareem Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.